Blog Talk Radio.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love again from Calvary's cross, where that love was nailed. You must believe He wants the best for you, though your prayers have yet to show. So let your heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God in heaven who saves, who delivers, and heals. For He gave His Son, the Lamb of God, the Savior, the Scripture reveals. I set aside all the doubts, set aside all the questions, and hold fast to that which is real. God's Word doesn't sway.
This is Ann Windsor here at the Zoe Radio Network, and welcome to part two of a sermon by Dr. John G. Lake entitled Christian Communion. One of the truest things in all my life, he says, is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been one of the truest things in all my life, in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, has been to feel that He was capable of knowing my sorrows and yours. And that truest sense, He thereby became our comrade. I want to pick up there with that word, comrade. In part one, Dr. Lake was referring back to during the time of World War I to a story that was appearing in magazines at that time called The Comrade. And he says, it is the sense of comradeship that makes the Lord Jesus not only a savior in the ordinary sense, but a savior companion in all our ways and walks of life, filling the place in our soul that only a comrade can fill. Then he told the story about when he was traveling in Africa and he met a man that had come to Africa from England. His wife had died. His sons had been killed in a native uprising, and it was just him left, and he was living among the native people. Dr. Lake asked him what he missed most, and his response was, Mr. Lake, I guess one word will cover it, comradeship. The lack of that real soul comradeship, which makes life so dear to every man. Dr. Lake goes on, that is the place that Jesus proposes to occupy in the Christian life. That place of real comradeship, whereby, through His grace and love, He supplies to us the thing that we need. That we need so much to make this life the joyous, victorious life He purposed it to be. His presence with us, His guiding counsel, His transforming grace, His soul-absorbing presence, which, in the ultimate, commands all the intensity of our nature. Paul expressed it so wonderfully in the words, Christ is all and in all. Then he continues on, and he said, Christ is in us as Savior, companion, indweller. But he is also in us as a divine force, revolutioning our nature and making us like him. His goal is to, Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That transformation is to be an inner transformation. Now the mechanical fades away in view of the living fact that Christ purposes to accomplish in us through the Spirit. How wonderful. Our heart staggers when we think of such a calling. Galatians 4:19 emphasizes this truth. Till Christ be formed in you. Hallelujah. That is the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the marvel he has undertaken to accomplish, to transform the soul of man into the likeness and character of himself, and then present mankind to the Father, holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight. We're going on now with part two. That was just a review. When Jesus stood before the disciples just prior to his going out into the garden, he delivered to them that wonderful address of the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters of John. He climaxed it with that marvelous high priestly prayer of the 17th chapter. Bring them to understand his nature and power. Knowing that all power had been given unto him, he took a towel and a basin and proceeded to wash the disciples' feet. When he had finished, he said, Know ye what I have done to you? John 13:12. In explanation, he said, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. John 13:14. In assuming the attitude of a servant, he taught mankind what their relationship as brother should be. When we examine the human heart and endeavor to discover what it is that retards our progress, I believe we find that pride in the human soul perhaps is the greatest thing we have to overcome. Jesus taught us a wonderful humility, taking the place of a slave. So, we are enjoined to thus treat and love one another. His presence with us, his presence in us, must produce in our hearts the same conditions that were in his own. It must bring into our life the same humility that was in him. It is one of the secrets. Humility is one of the secrets of entrance into the grace of God. When the precious Christ enters into the unregenerate heart, he becomes the very center of their being. He becomes the very acme of their ambition, that they might be like him. He, through true humility of his soul, left the things of his glorious Father's kingdom to come into this world of woe and sin, by which he was enabled to live, by humility, he was enabled to live the life of perfection in this earth and become the real redeemer and sympathizer of mankind. In the story of the comrade, Dr. Lake's referring now back to the account that I shared with you earlier about the magazine article. In the story of the comrade, the substance of it is practically that the comrade is ever present. In the course of the conversation with the comrade, it is observed that there are wounds in his hands, and he replies, Yes, they are old wounds, but they have been giving me a good deal of trouble of late. So, he's again sharing the story that appeared in the magazine of the two comrades sitting there talking. And one comrade says to the other, apparently, about his wounds he notices that he has. And the other comrade says, yes, they are old wounds, but they have been giving me a good deal of trouble of late. Then he goes on and he draws the parallel between the wounds of the comrade and the burdens of the heart of the Lord Jesus. Yes, they are old wounds, but they have been giving me a good deal of trouble of late. That is the vital sense of real comradeship that makes the Spirit of Jesus one with us, so that we realize and He realizes when the condition of our nature and mind affect Him. He goes on, he's sharing about once you become one in spirit with the Lord, He senses the wounds of your heart, but you also sense the wounds of His, the old wounds point that He's making here. Then he tells a little story. For 2 days, I have been under a tremendous burden. One of these spirit burdens that comes at times when you cannot define them. I could not tell whence it came, but every little while I felt I wanted to sit down and cry. Presently, during the day, a friend came and unloaded the burden of her soul to me. And then I realized that I had been under the burden for that soul for 2 days, not knowing the trouble existed. That is the character of comradeship, which is between the real Christian and the Christ. The Christian feels the burdens of the Christ, and the Christ feels the burdens of the Christian. And being united as one spirit, the interests of the Christ are the interests of the Christian, and the interests of the Christian are the interests of the Christ. That relationship is of the truest, deepest order. It is the relationship of spirit with spirit. Oh my, what holy ground we're on right now. The Christian feels the burdens of the Christ, and the Christ feels the burdens of the Christian. And being united as one spirit, the interests of the Christ are the interests of the Christian. Christian are the interests of the Christ. That relationship is of the truest, deepest order. It is the relationship of spirit with spirit. When a young man, before I entered into this life of ministry, indeed, from my boyhood, there were times when my spirit would become overshadowed with the burden of another life, sometimes with the sorrows of another. I had one of these experiences when perhaps not more than 10 or 11 years of age. On a particular Sunday, I arose with one of these burdens on my spirit, and I walked out into the fields. There was a high hill on my father's farm. The sun had not yet gotten over this hill. When I got to the top, I looked down over the beautiful field. There was a lake, and I was thinking how beautiful it was and all the surroundings. In the midst of it, tears commenced to run, and I sat down on a stone and cried. After a while, I got up and wondered why I was crying. Several days later, we received a letter. telling that dear old grandfather had died. And then the old grandmother had said, "Well, I do not want to live anymore." And she died also. Around them was a group of sorrowing friends, and somehow my spirit contacted that sorrow. One of the truest things in all my life, in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, has been to feel He was capable of knowing my sorrows and yours, and that in the truest sense, He thereby became our comrade. In Isaiah, there is a verse that wonderfully expresses that fact. Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them, and He bare them and carried them all the days of old. There is a union, Christ and the Christian, that is so deep, so pure, so sweet, so real, that the very conditions of the human spirit are transmitted to His, and the conditions of the Christ spirit are transmitted to us. It is because of the continuous inflow of the Spirit of Christ in our heart that we appreciate or realize His power and triumph. It lifts man above his surroundings and causes him to triumph anywhere and everywhere. The Christian life is designed by God to be a life of splendid, holy triumph. That triumph is produced in us through the continuous inflow and abiding presence of the Spirit of the triumphant Christ. He brings into our nature the triumph that He enjoys. Indeed, the mature having entered into that consciousness of overcoming through the Spirit of Christ is privileged to transmit that same overcoming power and spirit to other lives in and through the power of the Spirit of God. Read that again. The Christian life is designed by God to be a life of splendid, holy triumph. That triumph is produced in us through the continuous inflow and presence of the Spirit of the triumphant Christ. He brings into our nature triumph that He enjoys. Indeed, the mature Christian, having entered into that consciousness of overcoming through the Spirit of Christ, is privileged to transmit that same overcoming power and spirit to other lives in and through the power of the Spirit of God. That is why the Christian, who is joined with the Christ, lives, moves, and has his being in the same life, in the same spirit that Jesus the Christ is and has. And the Christian is therefore the reproduction of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian who is joined with the Christ lives, moves, and has his being in the same life, in the same spirit that the Christ is and has. And the Christian is therefore the reproduction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Rich words to ponder and think about. There is a union between the Christ and the Christian. It is so deep, so pure, so sweet, so real, that the very conditions of the human spirit are transmitted to him, and the conditions of Christ's spirit are transmitted to you. Now, if you're listening today, you have conditions in your soul. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, if you're joined unto the Lord, you are one in spirit. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that caused you to be born again, that flows back and forth. That Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that flows back and forth between your spirit and his spirit, making you one. And that flow of life can cause you to sense the burdens that are in the soul of the Lord Jesus. And he can sense the burdens, the cares that are in your soul. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he knows if you're heavy laden with cares on your heart. You may not be now, but he does know when you have them. And those things that you sense, sometimes that heaviness, it may not be coming from you or about your circumstances at all. It could be a burden that is on the heart of the Lord Jesus, and you're sensing it. Oh, what a union, what preciousness to flow in a comradeship with him. We think of him as being our Savior, the Bishop of our soul, our healer, our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, our soon coming King. But to think of him as being your comrade, the one that's been down in the trenches with you. Hallelujah. He laid aside his glory and humbled himself and found himself in fashion as a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's where he received the wounds. Hallelujah. That we can see today. The war. He's been through the war. He knows what it's all about. He was tempted in all points like as you are. He's a comrade in temptation, tests, and trials. It says in Hebrews, because of that, he's able to be also your faithful high priest then, because he's been your faithful comrade. Oh my, I just encourage you today, have that intimate relationship with him. He loves you. He is near to you. He wants to be what he died and rose again to be for you. If you don't know him today, you have just happened to tune in to this short broadcast, he's knocking at your heart's door. I believe you sense his presence right now. Just open your heart. Say, Lord, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you're alive. I believe you're with me right now. I sense your presence. I believe you died for my sins. I invite you to be my Savior. Cleanse me. Cleanse my heart. Come into me and be my comrade. He said if you'd call upon him, he would save you. He hears you. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So thank him right now. Thank you, Lord, that you hear me. Thank you, Lord, that you come into my heart by your Spirit. Thank you that you become my comrade in the battles of my life. Praise God. Well, be blessed. If you have received the Lord as your Savior, send me an email. Ann Windsor, ANNWINDSOR8@gmail.com. I just like to encourage you and give you some materials, maybe some sites that you can visit online that will help you grow in the Lord. And if you're tuning in and you would like a PDF of this entire sermon, just go over to my Bible School page and WindsorBibleSchool.org, and can access a PDF under the posting Christian Communion, A Sermon by John G. Lake, Part 2. God bless you today. If you need healing, you need deliverance. Jesus is more than enough.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love forgave from Calvary's cross, where that love was nailed. You must believe He wants the best for you, though your prayers have yet to show. So let your heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God.